Welcome back, and we have moved into English because we are speaking to Das Beat, who are a duo comprised of Alexander Cohen and Eddie Rabenberger. I hope I've said that okay.
That was great.
My German is absolutely terrible.
But thank you for joining us.
Yeah, particularly as Alexander was telling us, he's just off the flight, and if he'd been a bit more delayed in Paris, he wouldn't have made it. So thank you very much.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
First question, how did you meet? How did a Canadian and a German person meet? Did it happen in Germany or in Canada or somewhere else?
I guess very classic Berlin story. We met in Berlin at a house party, being a little...
Partying.
We clicked, and then, like, I think after 2 years of knowing each other, we started making music, and here we are.
Oh, music came after. It wasn't like you were both already musicians and, hey, I got this project, and
I've never done music before. Like, I do come from, like, the performance, like, theater background. Like, I've done that, but... this lovely man has showed me in the world of music, and I love it. I'm very happy to be here.
So I was very interested because I was reading an interview, and tell me if this isn't true, but Eddie, I think you said that you started to make music as we were going through relationship troubles. Is that right?
That is very true. Yeah, it was like, because when we met, we started like dating, and then I think we started making the music during COVID. And I think that's like, I guess lots of people were like really sitting at home, not really knowing what to do with yourself. So I think the music was for us, like we channeled like some energy in there and it brought us back together. But then also we drifted apart again. Now currently we're not dating, but we're really like really close friends now. Yeah. Like I guess it's like an up and down, and we're really happy to be working together.
Yeah. Good. Sharing the love of music, no?
And at some point when we were dating, I would say that if we did break up, I would still want to make music together because Eddie has like a really special voice and a special attitude. And I've come from a background of a lot of doing a lot of music and different projects, from like indie to electronic pop to like pure techno. Production, on stage, mixing, mastering, like all this stuff. I've been doing music for a while, and a lot of people I know are involved in the industry. And for sure, something I really liked about her attitude with it was like probably to do with the background of being the theater upbringing and stuff like that, because there's like a performative thing going on where there's like this playfulness with different characters that get tried on, many different voices, high voices, low voices, happy voices, sad voices, like energetic things, soft things. And I just liked all that variety. And I think that part of it came from the fact that she didn't have that much experience in music, because I think that then you're able to try something that really is new rather than, you know, repeating something that you've already been told or been taught or something. So that's kind of how we came together. And like, especially me coming from the more American side of things and European, and maybe in some ways also blending like electronic elements with live elements. So really we're trying to do like a blending of different styles and stuff like that. And that's kind of what Das Beat is about.
Because I think you said in an interview that you saw the band as a way to push back against the sounds that surrounded you in Berlin. And I know you work or were working as an engineer for local techno producers. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. I've been doing that in Berlin, working with a lot of the people in the techno scene here. And I guess what I was saying in that, what I found interesting was like growing up or like in my younger years and stuff like that, I was always making the electronic music within the back. Like there was Grimes and Mac DeMarco and like all these people who were making like this indie, more indie style of music. And I felt like I was always trying to do the dance music thing as like within that scene. Whereas now I'm here in Berlin and doing a lot of work in the techno scene, and I feel like I'm doing the like live, now I'm offering the live element. So it's just like whatever pushes back against the norm.
I mean, as you said, like Eddie, you've got a background in theater and in acting. How does that come across in your live performances?
So it's very interesting because for me, like, performing has been always like a part of my life, and but it's also been something kind of from a young age I've been really like kind of like forced to do. I've been like, when I was 4 years old, I had to like do like this crazy like sport tournaments and like 5 times a week, and like been really, really pushed into that life. And then the acting was also always something that I was expected to do, and now performing the music is like the first time in my life I'm like, this makes so much sense, like finally, like all, like, I mean, all the great things I learned, of course, but also all like the pain that I've been through now finally makes sense on stage. And I mean, I just unlocked something, and I'm really, really happy, and I'm like so thankful to be able to do this. Like, yeah, it is theatrical, and I am dramatic, and I love the stage, and
Well, I was going to say your videos are pretty impressive. They sort of have that quite theatrical edge to them, I think. But I was reading as well that your first gig, Eddie, your first gig was Adam Green. That seems like a very strange first gig to have.
Yeah, I mean it's also because, I guess, of my family. My father is like, has a great music taste, but he always kept us very away from like the pop music scene. So I guess when I was 8 years old, I was like at home singing like suicide, suicide. But like, I definitely didn't know what it means. But like, I was a big fan. And I remember it was like a very small concert in Erfurt. And he didn't tell us before who was gonna play. And I was like, oh, Adam Green is playing here too, today. And then I was like, oh my God. And then he did like stage diving and like I touched his shoe. It was really, really exciting. Yeah.
And did you think like, this is what all live music is like, this random?
I mean, like, this was for me, like, what do you mean? Like, what is like, if this is, can like, you repeat the question?
Being so young and being your first concert, did you imagine that all concerts were going to be like that, where there was that particular energy?
Probably, yeah. I mean, because, yeah, I've never been at a, like, also like a huge, huge concert. I've been at like theater classical concert, but like what I think this is what I thought is like this is like rock and roll, or like this is where I'm gonna like spend my nights when I'm adult. I think it was like 14 or something.
It shows sometimes in our performances, because like sometimes we perform in a place that doesn't have a lot of production, like not so many lights and things like that. And it's just the two of us on stage. I'm playing guitar and like changing some of the beats around, and Eddie has the mic. So it's like, how much can you do with a microphone and with everybody's eyes on you? I guess it turns out a lot if you have the energy and like the will to do it, because like, it's kind of, some people might stand there, other people might feel a little bit awkward or something. You can also go really crazy and everyone's watching you, and you can make that into an experience that people really remember. And it's amazing how much you can do with basically just, yeah, your voice and movements on stage. So yeah. I think that's something that
I love small concerts also. I love to play, like, I love to play all kinds of concerts, I guess. And I also like small, yeah.
Well, and we were talking about this before off air, but you're playing Bergheim on Valentine's Day. What on earth is that going to be like? Is it part of a wider club night? Is it your own gig? What can we expect?
So we're going to perform with Sam Queeley, who's a really amazing artist. And I think our bookers were kind of like connecting, or like maybe even started like on Instagram. We were like following each other, and then we're like, okay, maybe we can make a little concert. So it is like two live concerts, then I think two DJs, like Flexible Heart and Frost Children, who I also really, really like. And I only found out about them playing when I saw the lineup, and I was so excited, making the air jumps. So it is like also party, but it's not like a Saturday to Sunday night where it like goes like for 24 hours. I think the party will like end at 5 in the morning.
Just 5 in the morning.
Just five in the morning. But importantly, it is actually in the hall of Bergheim, which I find really exciting. And also, I've been to a few shows there during the week. But I've never been to like a live, let's say, show there on a Friday, which is kind of a party night. And also, I've definitely never seen anybody play guitar at Berghain before, so I'm kind of excited to see how this is going to go.
If the ceiling crumbles and, you know.
Yeah, and just everything about it. And also because our sound is kind of this blend of live music, like post-punk style, but also with a bit of an EDM kind of like lean to it. So I think it will probably, I hope it will suit our music well, because their whole system is set up for bass frequencies and all this kind of stuff. Like, it has the potential to I think work really well.
Yeah, and we kind of adapted our set and made it a little bit more like dancey.
Yeah, we did some remixes of some of our songs and stuff.
But also, yeah, since Argo just arrived back from Montreal, it's like literally when we're done with this interview, we will like practice tomorrow, more practice, and then
Because I have another project in the US, Canada, and we're going on tour with, I don't know if you know who like Rebecca Black is.
She's
Black Friday.
We're going on tour with her all of March, so I'm also like rushing over there and getting songs ready there, so I'm like going back and forth between these two super cool bands.
This is Blue Hawaii, right?
That's right. Yeah,
Blue Hawaii.
So talking about Valentine's Day, love, etc., as we kind of were, there is a song on the new album, Frau Fatal, which is called Hopeless. Hopeless Romantic.
That's
first.
Our favorite, too.
Well, it is described, Eddie, I believe you described it. Well, it features the lyric, I fell in love with a fuckboy, excuse me. And you have called it an ode to the fuckboys. Now, I may be terminally old, but I thought fuckboy was kind of
a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of like bros, like, you know.
I know. And I think I'm not so sure anymore, because I feel like people also think it's a bad thing, but I don't really see it as a bad thing, because it depends like what you want. Like a fuckboy can also be just like really like nice and open, and then you just have a great time and then it's over. Also, I think more or less, I kind of see myself like as the fuck girl, like I'm in my fuck girl era, and it's great. I'm really quick. I think it's also, of course, it's also a little bit toxic, and you're like all in, like lots of emotions, and then it just like fades like into nothingness. But it's just like I value these like it's moments.
But that's very interesting what you just said, because on social media, there's a name for everything and it becomes something like the fuckboy phenomenon, right? And there's forums and this, that, the other, and memes. But you just said like the female equivalent. I have never heard of it on internet, like a thing, like the fuck girl, where girls and women take the authority, like, hey, I want to also be a hedonist and have fun and have relationships that are just, you know, positive way, no?
Because I think for me, like, I don't know, maybe it's also just my interpretation, like being a fuck boy or fuck girl is also like, I really like to court people. Like, I would like, if I'm interested in a man or a woman, I would like bring them flowers and like promise them the world.
And seduce, you know, be a seductress. No?
And, I guess it's also something I can work on, but
I think it's also to do with the album title too, because probably, I think in the past, like, the idea of a femme fatale was kind of this like, oh, stay away from the femme fatale, they're gonna like ruin your life or something like that. But I think it's like to flip that a little bit on its head and make it into something that kind of gives you some power, because in the past, obviously, it was kind of up to the men anyway, like whatever they wanted to do, they had like the power in terms of career and like the dynamics and the family and stuff like that. But like as the world changes, it's just like one of those things to take this old term and to kind of flip it on its head, and then to also
take charge of your romantic life.
I mean, you mentioned that the album is called Frau Fatal, and track two is Frau Fatal, which is a cover of the old Velvet Underground and Nico song.
Which apparently not all the young people know who the Velvet Underground are anymore.
Oh my god. This is why it's good.
We were the Velvet Underground as a cover band for Halloween here in Berlin in October, and a bunch of like the younger Gen Z people were like, Velvet what? I know, yeah. But it makes sense, because also the whole, like I say American loosely because I'm from Canada, but the, let's say North American versus German, and Nico was one of these like exports and stuff like that. We thought it was like a good thing to go for because of all the ways that there's the similarities there. Yeah.
And Lou Reed famously had an incredible creative period in Berlin, right?
Yeah, totally.
There's a whole album called Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin.
Did he record that in Berlin?
I think he did. That's when he was hanging out with Iggy Pop and Bowie, wasn't it? That whole thing.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
I know.
Well, and obviously our sound is also influenced by that time back in Berlin. And then kind of this like through line between then and also the techno that is obviously the dominant sound here now.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is one thing I really like about the album, is that it's kind of really high energy, and it doesn't seem to sort of care too much what people think of it, if you know what I mean. And one thing, again, I was wondering, like, because Velvet Underground fans can be quite protective of the band.
Exactly.
I was wondering if there was ever a moment where you were like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't try this. Not because it's not good, but just because, you know, people are going to be like, oh my God, the Velvet Underground. Or do you just...
This thought hasn't crossed my mind, because I'm also like, if they don't like it, then that's also fine with me. Because I don't know necessarily who they are, and we just like had lots of fun with it, and I really also like the sentiment of the song, like also what meaning it had back then, like also like with the Frau Fatale. Now I'm just having so much fun with it, and I mean, yeah, if you don't like it, you don't like it.
For me,
it's sad. I of course I want people to like my music, but
yeah,
that's okay.
For me, it crossed my mind in like a good way, kind of, because I think that like a lot of the people who like that music, or let's say live music or band music or rock music or punk music, tend to be quite purist, where it's like they're trying to defend the fact that like there's this sea change away from live music towards like electronic music, let's say, to the point where like electronic music has kind of become like the norm. So I feel like people from that live music background feel maybe the need to like protect it a little bit by keeping everything analog. Like, you know, record all the drums yourself, play your bass, play your guitar. I have a lot of respect for that. I come from that background. I obviously, like, I can play those instruments and stuff. And we want to tour at some point with a live bass player and a drummer and stuff. But one thing I think that's really cool is just, like, doing something that's the blend of the two, that is just, like, unapologetically both live and also EDM in that sense of the word, because I think that most of the people do kind of try and protect it and keep it separate.
Yeah, and it's still not like just so dancey. Like I also like kind of like scream around and stuff, and I think that that's like also like it's the sentiment. I don't know.
The album opens with a song called, and you'll excuse the pronunciation, Ohrwurm, which means earworm. I assume it means the same thing, German and English, like a song you just can't get out of your head, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Is it named that because you're trying to create an earworm with that song?
No, it's more like, I guess, like, I mean, like that was just like something that, like a good coincidence, because for my first thought with the earworm was more like, if you have a crush on someone, it's like someone you can't get out of your head. And like, especially when I write in German, like the lyrics are often very like playing with the words and the meanings, and like in the song it's like, like you turned my head, now I can't look straight anymore, and I can't like walk forwards. Like it makes more sense like in German language.
And the main lyrics are du bist ein Ohrwurm für die Augen,
like you are earworm for my eyes.
For my eyes,
this is so pretty. Yeah, that's it.
You see, well, I don't know if this question works right now, but I'm gonna go for it. What are your biggest earworms? What are the songs that just haunt you throughout your days?
Oh my God.
The last one for me was definitely that viral song Messy. I listened to that like probably like 25 times.
From Lola Young. Yeah.
I'm
so messy.
I've heard of it. I don't think I know it.
Oh yeah, I'm sure she'll be at Primavera soon.
Do I want to get into it, or is it going to dominate my life, basically?
You'll love it for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a really nice, it's also just like indie, best indie you could have, like, it's like a good, perfect indie song for me.
Okay, so it's a good earworm rather than, you know,
it's really good. Yeah,
Mambo
yeah.
number five or something like that.
Yeah, I'm completely blanking on earworm right now. There's nothing.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
I don't want to force it also, because like I won't get it out of my head. So.
Well, Kylie's Can't Get You Out of My Head is quite an earworm, to be honest. So
very good earworm.
I came up with a song that you're probably far too young to know, but is Respectable by Mel and Kim.
Wonderful.
You know it.
I still play it.
It's a tune.
It's the original version.
Sorry, I'm getting distracted. What is the biggest pop melody on your album?
Biggest pop song, what would you say? Maybe maybe wrestling? No. Or maybe like we have
guest star. Maybe guest also star. We have there's a couple songs that are sort of more indie leaning. One of them is called Guest Star, and it kind of has like these major chords in this old kind of
It's more like indie in the pop pop in the indie direction, I guess. Whereas I feel like wrestling is more like pop in like the wavy direction or something. Like,
but something about wavy feels like it can never really be truly pop because it's this underground thing.
Where does the line? Where? Yeah. I think the good thing is there's loads and loads and loads of songs that have big pop.
They're all a little bit poppy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mentioned videos earlier, which are really, really good. Do you have a favorite video you've done?
We just done an incredibly amazing video we're going to release on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
For Hopeless Romantic, made by an amazing director, Romina Cooper, and like a great, great team. So I guess that is currently my favorite, and we're very excited to share it. But before that, we've worked a lot with a good, good friend of ours, Tom Funk, who also made the Paragraph 1 video, and he's just, we're very lucky to have so like amazing, talented friends like in our close friend circle that keep like supporting us and making footage and videos for us. And I love every single video of it. Yeah. So I'm so thankful for my friends. They are just incredible.
And did you ever actually end up DJing at a friend's fitness class in Toronto?
We did do that, yes.
Yeah, oh my God, how did you?
I really hope there's
interviews,
no...
you know.
I hope there's no footage of it, because it ended up like him like playing music and I was like just like live singing on top of it, and it might have been very cringy. And
that was a while ago.
Does footage exist, or is it just like one off and that's that?
One off. Wow. Like people exercised, and it was a one-time thing. It was great.
See, I think that's a really good thing, because one thing that really puts me off doing any kind of exercise class is like some of the music you hear. You know, when you go to the swimming pool and you hear like the people on the exercise bikes next door are pumping like, I don't know, terrible, terrible things. I think, can you just make it a bit better? So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was, like, complete honesty, I don't know if it was better, because if I remember correctly, I was just like, la, 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 one and two and stand up. And yeah.
At least it was cool, I guess, to have a live performance while you do it.
But did you tell them what to do? Were you like, work those legs, do some three crunches?
Yeah, kind of like, more like that, like, because there was a person telling them what to do. So I was just kind of like going with the flow and like, let's just hope it's not.
Let's leave it there.
Let's leave it. We get a little bit ahead of myself, but that can happen sometimes.
So you're playing Bergheim on February the 14th. You're playing Super. And people, don't ask for guest list, okay? Just don't be rude. Like you know what it's like. And you're playing the Supersonic Block Party in Paris on May 31st. Any other gigs lined up? Any around kind of near our way?
Yes. So since we are gonna be in Paris, we're gonna play in France, like in the Bretagne. Yeah, is that the right word? Brittany.
Yes,
Bretagne. Yeah,
Bretagne.
A few shows with like also like a band from a friend of ours. That's really great, and like it's like the first time that we're really gonna be like the DIY band driving around in France, and I'm really excited for that. And another show in Paris, I think, as well.
And we're playing in Leipzig next weekend.
We're playing in Leipzig next weekend, and yeah, I think there's more exciting things.
There's some stuff for the summer in the works, so we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Well, I hope you make it down here, because you know what? I'm on Valentine's Day, I'm going to a restaurant with the family, and something that seems very boring. I think I should be like, you know, going out to well, exactly. lots of love going on in there, I'm sure. Thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck with the gig. The album is out March the 14th. Frau Fatal, it's a fabulous bit of work. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And have a lovely day.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.